Yamuna Chira Banachari. Yamuna Chira Banachari. Jayarada Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Acharya Sotadas of the Sri Shimadas, Divine Grace, Sesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. DVD Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad, Padamahansa Padavajikacharya, Stotadas of the Sri Shimadas, Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Guri Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Shlahadadas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekaho, Shikrishna Chaitanya, Prabhunachananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Govinda Bhakta Vrinda Kijan, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath, Shamakunda Radhakunda, Giddigobadan Kijai, Vrindavandam Kijai, Nabadipmai Purdam Kijai, Ganga Jamunamai Kijai, Tulasi Devi Maharani Kijai, Bhakti Devi Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Harinam Sankirtan Kijai, Brihat Badanga Kijai, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Gurungaranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 19, The Killing of the Demon Hiranyaksha. And we're up to text 26.
Sa'ahato vishvajita hi avagyaya. Sa'ahato vishvajita hi avagyaya. Paribrimarad gatra udashtalochana. Paribrahmad gatra udashtalochana. Visirna bhavangri suroduho patat. Vasirna Bhuvangri Siroru Patad. Yata Nagendro Lulito Nabasvata. Sa Ahato Vishvajita Hi Avagyaya. Pari Brahmad Gatra Udashta Lochanaha. Vasirna Bhavangri Siroruho Jipatad. Yata Nagendro Lulito Nabashvata. Others.
You don't need to look at him and put all your stuff in front of you, so you don't have to keep turning to the side.
Vaishnavis. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
sa hi ahataha, having been struck, vishvajita, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He, though, avagyaya, indifferently, paribrahmat, wheeling, gatraha, body, udashta, bulged out, lochanaha, eyes, vishirna, broken, bahu, arms, angri, legs, sira ruhaha, hair, apatat, fell down, yata, like, naga indraha, a gigantic tree, lulitaha, uprooted, nabashvata, by the wind. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Purport. It does not take even a moment for the Lord to kill any powerful demon, including Hiranyaksha. The Lord could have killed him long before, but he allowed the demon to display the full extent of his magical feats. One may know that by magical feats, by scientific advancement of knowledge, or by material power, one cannot become the equal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His one signal is sufficient to destroy all our attempts. His inconceivable power, as displayed here, is so strong that the demon, despite all his demoniac maneuvers, was killed by the Lord when the Lord desired simply by one slap. Omagana Timanandasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Unmilitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 7 and 8, Krishna states his purpose in coming to the material world. He says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shujami aham paritranaya sadhanam vinishaya tradushkatam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That in order, whenever there is a rise of irreligion, no, whenever there's a decline of religion, a prominent rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself in order to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants. I advent myself millennium after millennium. So this pastime fits into that, under that heading. It's true that we did hear in the previous chapter that, you know, the reason why Krishna or Lord Narayan is incarnating as Varaha is because he wanted to enjoy that fighting propensity, and, you know, which you can't do in the Vaikuntha planets. And so he had some of his devotees come to the material world so he could. That's true. But, you know, I can't remember the name, but there is a name for Krishna which states that Krishna can achieve, he can fulfill many purposes with one activity. Krishna could do one thing and he achieves a lot of goals. So this is an example of that. Sure, yeah, he did. He fulfilled that propensity to enjoy a good fight with his devotees. But simultaneously, he's also fulfilling his bigger overall overarching purpose of delivering the pious, annihilating the miscreants, and reestablishing principles of religion. So what exactly did that mean, reestablishing principles of religion? I'm going to read a very brief excerpt from a lecture Prabhupada gave, which gives us insight into exactly what that means. Prabhupada says, this That, this is Bhagavad Dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Savai Pum Sam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hoksaje. That is first class religion. What is that? Where love of God is enthused. That is first class religion. And if you follow ritualistic processes and your love of Godhead has gone to hell, your love of materialistic life or your love of this world is increasing, love of sense gratification is increasing, that is not religion. That is not religion. Test of religion is how much you are increasing your love of God. So here it is said, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, and what is that religious practice? That religious practice is whenever there is decline of love of God, that's all. When people become lover of mammon, matter, that means decline of religion. And when people increase love of Godhead, that means real religion. So Krishna comes, or Krishna's servant, or representative comes to adjust things when people forget love of Godhead. Somebody, either Krishna, God himself, or his representative comes to adjust things. So Prabhupada's giving the criterion there, that that's what's meant by reestablishing religious principles. Setting things right, again, so people are on the progressive path towards developing their love for God. And as Prabhupada mentioned here, when things get off track, which they tend to do as the ages progress, then Krishna comes. He intervenes to adjust things. And this is an example of that. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but that adjustment is, how is this relevant to us? Because, okay, sure, Krishna came as Varaha. He eliminated this demon, Hiranyaksha. The demigods were benefited by that because, as was mentioned, they were being harassed by him and they very much wanted to get rid of him. So they got benefited. But what about us? Well, same thing with Hiranyakasipu. It creates material for devotees in the future to hear about. And that's... it's on the absolute platform. In other words, devotees derive the same benefit hearing about this pastime of Lord Varaha killing Hiranyaksha as did the demigods who were actually directly benefited by that act. And that's, I'm going to read a paragraph here from the Krishna book. It appears in the chapter, The Salvation of Trinavarta, where Prabhupada elaborates upon that point. He says that the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to this material world and displays his activities. And elaborating upon that, Prabhupada says, if someone takes advantage of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, the material contamination of dust accumulated in the heart due to long association with material nature can be immediately cleansed. Lord Chaitanya also instructed that simply by hearing the transcendental name of Lord Krishna, one can cleanse the heart of all material contamination. There are different processes for self-realization, but this process of devotional service, of which hearing is the most important function, when adopted by any conditioned soul, will automatically cleanse him of the material contamination and enable him to realize his real constitutional position. Conditional life is due to this contamination only, and as soon as it is cleared off, then naturally the dormant function of the living entity rendering service to the Lord awakens. It goes on to say, Maharaj Prickett recommended from practical experience that everyone try to hear about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and that these Vedic literatures are meant for that purpose, so that the hearer can take advantage of it to attain the ultimate goal of life. So, in that way, you know, Krishna's benefiting not just the direct recipients like such the demigods in this particular case, but everybody. You know, it's all future generations are benefited by hearing these pastimes. The actual day that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, so you know, the residents of Vrindavan, sure, they were directly benefited by Krishna doing that, but we're also benefited. Here we are 5,000 years later, and you know, devotees all over the world have benefited hearing about that pastime, remembering that in the same way ultimately that the residents of Vrindavan were benefited, because when as was mentioned here, by hearing these pastimes you're actually associating with Krishna. You know, and if it's done in a completely with a completely pure consciousness, you really enter into and can experience those pastimes. So, yeah. So on this point of how Krishna achieves many purposes by one act, an example of that is Lord Chaitanya. You know, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that, okay, certainly one, you know, Lord Chaitanya had all his internal purposes for, Krishna had his internal purposes for adventing as Lord Chaitanya. He basically, I think they mentioned this five, but just to kind of summarize it, he wanted to experience the love that his devotee had for him. That was his internal purpose. And the external purpose was to introduce the Yuga Dharma and deliver people. You see, so it's not like they're contradictory. He's able to do both those things at the same time. So in the same way, you know, he's enjoying the fighting propensity here. He just got finished killing Hiranyaksha, but at the same time, he's performing a pastime that, by you know, conditioned souls. Aspiring devotees, when they hear about it, they're going to get purified and advance in Krishna consciousness. So it's actually part of his program to Purchanaya Sadhana Vinishaja just come Dharma Samstapanartaya, reestablish the principles of religion, which is really the primary, I would say, and I hope I'm not saying something that the acharyas didn't say. That's his primary purpose in displaying these activities, performing these pastimes within the material world. And I'm going to give a few shastric references to try to support my point there. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 5, Text 24. In the purport, Prabhupada says, "The cosmic manifestation gives the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead, and that is its main purpose. The Lord is so kind." That is its main purpose. The whole process is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness so that they may become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha lokas. The Lord wants every one of his part and parcels to take part in his eternal lila, which is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. So that's one. This is actually from the first canto. It says, "The Lord wants the suffering human beings to come back home, back to Him, and cease to suffer the threefold material pangs. The whole plan of the creation is made in that way." And in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.25, in the purport, Prabhupada says, "The Lord is ever increasingly merciful upon the fallen souls of this material world. The whole cosmic manifestation is a chance for all to improve themselves in devotional service to the Lord, and everyone is meant for that purpose. The Lord gives the fallen souls a chance for this highest perfection of life." And these next two are really sort of very powerfully support this point. This is from the 8th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 17, and the purport, Prabhupada says, "Only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, He is always trying to deliver us. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that He becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to Him. Even before we offer our prayers, He incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance." And it's explained by the personified in the chapter. I don't know if it's the personified Vedas that are explaining it or it's Prabhupada's commentary. It's not real clear. But in the chapter, Prayers of the Personified Vedas, in the Krishna book, it's stated that, I'll just read. The personified Vedas themselves pray to the Lord. They say, "Your transcendental nature, by your transcendental nature, you fully possess all six opulences As such, you are able to deliver all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, O Lord. O Lord, we fervently pray that you kindly do so. And in further down, I think it's Prabhupada saying this, it says, of all his glories, the most important is his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls in reclaiming them from the clutches of Maya. And in a lecture Prabhupada gave on the teachings of Lord Kapila, which was transcribed and made into a book, Prabhupada says, we have forgotten Krishna. Krishna has given us, well, we have forgotten Krishna. Krishna also comes into this material world in order to remind us of himself. In this Kali Yuga, people are forgetting Krishna more and more. They are not even interested in him. But Krishna is interested because we are his sons. A mad son may no longer be interested in his home and his father or mother, yet the father never loses interest in his son. He is anxious because his boy has left home and is suffering. Similarly, Krishna's sons leave the spiritual sky and take up one material body after another, and in this way travel from one planet to another in different species of life. Therefore, Krishna comes to rescue him. So, that's just some shastric support of this idea that Krishna's primary purpose in coming and performing these pastimes is to deliver the fallen conditioned souls who were originally beloved spiritual sons, or spiritual offspring of Krishna. So he's not that he's indifferent or apathetic, quite the contrary. He's very sympathetic and really wants to reclaim us and help us get back to the spiritual world. And that's why so many different pastimes are there. And as we heard from that other excerpt I read, sometimes he comes himself, he's sending his representative, and etc. So Krishna intervenes. And, devotees generally refer to that as, Krishna's mercy. But it's actually, there's a theological expression, divine intervention. Krishna consciousness is all about divine intervention. It's all about Krishna coming, and when he doesn't really have to, he's not obligated to, but out of his causeless mercy, Krishna is coming to give us something beyond, better, more than what we deserve. A crude example, Prabhupada used that expression, a crude example of that is, like for instance, here in the United States, you have the certain system of law and order. And so people who don't cooperate with that system, a lot of times they'll wind up in prison. And that's where they'll, generally speaking, stay, for a certain amount of time that they're sentenced to stay there. But there's this thing called the presidential pardon. A president, upon leaving office, he can pardon anybody. Anybody who's in prison for any particular crime, the president can use that power. It's just some right that he has. And he can pardon that person. It could be a murderer, it could be anybody. And actually, the last president, as he was leaving, he used that quite extensively. I can't remember the figures, but a lot of people just got pardoned like that. So that's a crude example. So in the same way, everybody here, all the souls that are here in the material world, we're here because we deserve it. But Krishna has that power. He's the presidential pardon, so to speak, and he's interested in using that. He's interested in going beyond what's justice. Because it's said that justice is when you get what you deserve, and mercy is you get something better than what you deserve, more than what you deserve. So Krishna is interested in being merciful and giving us an opportunity to, despite the fact that we deserve to be here, Krishna is interested in helping us get out. And actually, I looked up that phrase, divine intervention, on the internet, and I found something really interesting, which I just like to share with everybody. Okay, so it gave a definition of what it is. It says it's an event that occurs when a deity becomes actively involved in changing some situation in human affairs, in contrast to other kinds of divine action. It says, God chooses to get involved or intervene in order to change and to preserve the situation. Then it gives a couple of examples. So one example it gives is of when this person, whose name was Korah, he was organized. He was the leader of a rebellion against Moses at the time when Moses was leading the Hebrews at that point out of Egypt to the promised land. And apparently what happened was the ground opened up and Korah and all his followers kind of got swallowed up in the ground and then it closed again. That was an example of one of the examples in this Wikipedia article given of divine intervention. The other example, much to my surprise, was this. It says here, this is the second, one of two examples. The second example says, a story of divine intervention can be found in, it says, Hindu mythology, in the story of Narasimha. In that story, the demon king, Hiranyakasipu, has extracted a guarantee from Brahma that he could not be killed by man or animal, neither indoors nor outdoors, neither during the day nor during the night. This is Wikipedia, okay? Feeling invulnerable, Hiranyakasipu begins to persecute devotees of Vishnu, whom he hates. A Vaishnavite boy named Prahlad, doesn't mention that he was his son, prays to Vishnu for help. Vishnu hears his prayer and manifests himself as Nrisimha, half man, half lion, and rips Hiranyakasipu apart in the doorway, neither indoors nor outdoors, at dusk, neither during the day nor night. I thought that was pretty far out. That, in the Wikipedia example of article about divine intervention, they would, you know, give this pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev. So that was pretty good. So I got to wrap it up, because I have to finish exactly at 8:30. So divine intervention, that's what we're interested in. We're interested in divine intervention for ourselves. It's actually absolutely required. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions it many, many times. He never uses that phrase, but, you know, Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Krishna says, this divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is insurmountable, but one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. Somebody surrenders to Krishna and Krishna intervenes. 9:22, well, the most famous one, I'm skipping ahead because of time. Most famous verse that talks about that is 18:66, where Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I'll protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So that's Krishna saying, you know, you surrender to him, and engage in his devotional service. Krishna intervenes, divine intervention. He protects you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is it's what we're after. It's the solution to all our own personal problems, and it's the only thing that can actually help this world. And I'll end by just supporting that statement with a quote from a purport from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 33. Prabhupada says, devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. That's it right there. Devotional service of the Supreme Lord is the only process by which all problems of all classes of men can be solved. See, because only Krishna can... The problems of the world today, to solve them, is going to require divine intervention. You know, karmically, everything is going on as it's supposed to go on. There's such a huge volume of sinful activity that's being engaged in that it's completely understandable that there's problems popping up in this place, that place, this place, that place. And the only way that can't be counteracted just by efforts on the part of the people who are being directly affected, or even if the whole world got together and decided, let's do something about this. Nope, they don't have the power to do it. You know, it's beyond their control. The only person that can help, you know, remedy or improve the situation in the world, or do something so that it doesn't get so much worse that it interferes with the Krishna conscious movement is Krishna. It's beyond it's beyond the power of a conditioned soul to change the laws of karma. See? So on an individual level and on a collective, a global level, this we have to, you know, strive for inspiring, trying to invoke the divine intervention of the Lord, you know, for, in our own personal lives and, if possible, on a much wider scale. Actually, I'll contradict myself. I'll read one last thing where Prabhupada talks about the significance of here's something we could do to attract divine intervention both for ourselves and for everybody else. This is an excerpt, a very brief excerpt from a letter Prabhupada wrote to the devotees here in New Dwarka in 1972, right after they had the first Christmas marathon, which was only 3 days. But during that three-day marathon, the devotees distributed 17,000 pieces of literature. And Prabhupada was really impressed and pleased by that. So in that letter, in one part of that letter, Prabhupada said, "So I'm so much pleased upon all the boys and girls in Los Angeles and all over the world who are understanding and appreciating this unique quality of our transcendental literature. And voluntarily, they are going out to distribute despite all circumstances of difficulty. By this effort alone, they are sure to go back home, back to Godhead." So that's a pretty big statement, but, you know, Prabhupada doesn't exaggerate, right? So let me read that little section again. It says, "I'm very pleased," how's it going? Yeah, "they're going out voluntarily to distribute despite all circumstances of difficulty. By this effort alone, they are sure to go back home, back to Godhead." So, of course, so many things we do are, you know, helping us go back home, back to Godhead. I'm just, you know, getting into that time of year, so I'm kind of took the opportunity to mention this. But the one of the wonderful things about book distribution is not only is it an activity that's assuring us of going back home, back to Godhead, but it's an activity which is giving people a great opportunity to get on the train, so to speak, you know, to get on the path. That, you know, for us it's taking us all the way, and for them it's, you know, it's giving them a foot in the door. They can get started by getting a book and coming in contact with Krishna consciousness like that. So I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.